This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. There's one word in the history of this program that's gotten our phone lines ringing more than any other, and in a moment, I'm about to utter that word again. So if it turns out that this is a topic with which you could use some advice, it might be good for you to make note of our call-in number right now, 888-WMRA-TALK. Of course, there's always a chance this will be the very first time in all the times we've addressed this topic that our phone lines will remain quiet. So you could just put off getting your question in until the last moment. But why take the chance? Why not call 888-967-2825 right now and make sure your query doesn't get overlooked? Guests Dave and Guinevere have much experience in the subject at hand. Chances are they can be helpful to you, although it's always fun to try to stump them too when we take all questions, issues, challenges, and even listener-discovered solutions on the topic of gardening right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Gardening is our focus today. 888-WMRA-TALK is how to participate by phone. Now, just to make things confusing, we are broadcasting on the first day of WMRA's fall fundraiser. So all day, listeners have been hearing an 800 number to call and make a financial contribution. But right now, the number we are asking you to use is for a talking contribution, 888-967-2825. If you've got a question about anything to do with gardening, or if you're willing to share a solution that you found to a gardening problem, our 888 number is easy to remember as 888-WMRA-TALK. Back with us in the Insight Studio, our favorite Green Thumb advisors, and we're going to start hearing from them live in just a moment. But I want to play for you a very brief recording from the last time they were here just about 3 months ago. Now, the first voice you're going to hear on this recording is that of Guinevere Higgins. But if you listen really carefully, you can probably also catch Dave O'Neill nodding his head vigorously in the background. The recording
keeps. We wanted to put in a plug for fall gardening because right now when we're in the thick of the intense heat and the intense drought and all the bugs are out, it's so nice to think about, gardening when it's 65 degrees out, when there's not as many pest problems, when oftentimes you don't even have to water. Because whatever natural rainfall comes, oftentimes it's enough just because it's so cool. There's not as much evaporation. So fall is a fantastic time to garden. And so we hope that folks listening out there will consider planting a fall garden this year.
And now we are back live. Guinevere Higgins, we're only a couple days into autumn. And temperatures today are, in fact, in the 60s. How'd you know?
I don't know. I guess I've got some kind of omnipotence I didn't realize. But fall gardening is fantastic, and I am so happy that it's fall. It is a gorgeous fall. Happy fall, Tom.
And to you. And to you, Dave O'Neill.
Hi, Tom.
We have, as far as I can tell, back from the records we have, and Dave, you actually started doing gardening advice sessions with us about 6 years ago.
2006.
And then about 3 years into that, Guinevere joined in, so she's been with us for at least 3 years now. But in all that time, I don't think we've ever done a fall gardening show.
And I think it's about time.
So what do you want people to know about gardening in the fall, in addition to what Guinevere had predicted for us back in July?
Well, gardening in the fall is one of the best times to garden, and it's one of the most successful times to garden because there's not a lot of heat stress, there's not a lot of bug stress, there's just a lot less stress in general, so we can all enjoy it more. But it also sets you up for success for the next season, and that's one of the big determining factors of how your next gardening season is going to go. It starts in the fall because that's when we get our garlic in. That's when we get our cover crop in. We start focusing on the soil, take soil tests, all those things that are going to make our garden better next year. Start now in September.
And it's also, we just went through kind of a brutal summer. I mean, that July was horrible, so you're so much more appreciative of being outside when the mosquitoes have kind of calmed down a little bit and the bugs aren't out as bad eating your crops. So it's a really just you appreciate being out there all the more because you know what you just went through.
So to you who are listening, let me let you in on a little secret. Because this was the first day of the fall fundraiser, the promos that would usually have aired this morning about today's show, warning people that gardening was coming up, and so they would all be lining up in front of their phones, calling in already because they got this advance warning, that didn't happen today. So far fewer people were alerted to the fact that we would be taking phone calls, questions, and comments and suggestions for Guinevere and Dave today. So if you ever tried to get in on a gardening show before and found you couldn't because the lines were solidly busy, this is the day for success for you. All the lines are open right now at 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. Anything at all that you want to talk about related to gardening, you can reach us at 888-967-2825. Now, we do have a couple of comments that have come in already on Facebook, and the first one is from Mike, who says, all capital letters with several exclamation points, stink bugs. I thought they were all gone, but now they're back in force, at least around Charlottesville. How come? Are we being punished? Is this because of the election campaign? Who do we vote for to get rid of them?
Oh, my goodness.
If only it were that easy. I want the candidate with the anti-stink bug platform. Well, they are back. We're noticing them more, and I'm noticing them in my house. They are coming back because we've had some nice cool nights, and the stink bugs are getting the message that they better find someplace warm and cozy for the winter, like our homes. So they are making themselves known to us.
And all our different pests and beneficials have their cycles throughout the gardening season. In our July show, we talked about how our flea beetles, which are really small and eat all our broccoli family plants, they peak in July. And right now, we don't even have floating row cover or exclusion methods protecting any of our brassicas because there's no flea beetles.
I'm sorry. It's not protecting any of your what?
Our broccoli family crops like cabbage or broccoli or kale or arugula mizuna. That's all a brassica family crop.
And a brassica family.
Yeah. That's they're all related. They're all cousins in the plant world.
So in terms of what to do about stink bugs?
Gosh, they are really active right now.
They are quite active. You know, I don't know of any particular remedy. You know, if you go to any garden shop, they all have big signs up that say stink bug traps, and I don't know how effective they are. Good luck to you out there, Mike.
Judy in Greene County. Thanks for calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Hi. I have a rosemary plant that's probably, I don't know, maybe 4 feet wide and maybe 4 feet tall. I've had it quite a number of years, and it just really looks horrible. And I wondered if there's anything you can do in the fall to sort of revitalize it so it will look better in the spring. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, Judy, please stand by just in case they have a question for you.
Okay, cool.
I love big old rosemary plants. They, you know, they're usually hardy here at least 9 out of 10 years. 1 out of 10 years, if we have a really hard winter, sometimes they die completely back. But that hasn't been the case with your 4x4 plant. And most of the greenery and lushness is going to be out towards the tip. So there's going to be a kind of a lot of brown, dead leaves on the inside, which is probably not as ornamental as it used to be.
Some of it's just dead all the way to the tip too.
If it's dead, go ahead and prune it. I mean,
how brutal can you be?
You can be pretty brutal.
Okay,
cut off all the dead, and leave anything that's green. You run the risk with plants that aren't, you know, necessarily super hardy to our hardiness zone. You do run the risk of, you know, if they do winter kill even more over the winter, over this coming winter, then that can kill the plant. But I would say if you know it's dead, you can definitely take it out. But be careful of pruning anything that's still, you know, vital green growth because the plant might need that over the winter.
Okay. Well, at this point, the only vital green growth is right at the end.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's some that are dead all the way out, so I could maybe trim those back to the main stalk and then just leave the ones that have a little bit of green.
Yeah, and it might look a little funny that, you know, for the first for the winter, a little scalped, but then see what happens in the spring.
Okay.
If you see a lot of lush new green growth coming back in the spring, you can go ahead and prune off anything that winter killed,
okay.
You know, or that looks just scraggly and scrawny, but you know that you've got new growth coming, but I would hold off on pruning anything too hard until you know you've got good new lush
foliage
coming.
Okay, because it used to be spectacular. I don't know if the summer was too hot, because we had a mild winter, so I don't know
sure
if it was
did.
Too hot. I mean, here I'm in green, so, you know, I don't even think we really actually got anything but a half a day of snow.
Dave and Guinevere, it sounds like from what you're saying that there's reason for Judy to hope that it will become spectacular again someday.
Yeah, I hope.
Don't write it off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
all right, thank
Judy.
You.
Bye-bye.
Somewhere listening in right now, I'm sure there is someone who has had great success overcoming some kind of gardening challenge that the rest of us would be grateful to hear about. If you are that person and you'd be willing to share your discovery, please do call us at 888-WMRA-TALK. That's 888-967-2825. Or you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. We have another post here on Facebook. This is from Sue, who says, this is the first year that I have had plants out on my apartment balcony. I was planning on bringing them in for the winter, but with all the stink bugs and other insects flying around, I'm concerned that there may be critter eggs planted in the soil. Should I repot these plants before bringing them in the house, or is there just no way to make sure that they would be insect-free?
Well, let me congratulate Sue for doing her first year at balcony gardening. We're always recommending garden anywhere, garden where you live, even if you don't have a backyard. Just, you know, throw it on the windowsill and garden or the balcony here and bring them in. I'm imagining, she doesn't say, but I'm imagining she has some different herbs and maybe some salad greens, perhaps. Bring them into a really sunny window, and a lot of them can overwinter fine.
Is there reason to worry, though, about there being critter eggs either on the leaves or the stalks or in the soil?
Yep, there is reason. She can do a visual inspection. The best place to look is under the leaves. That's where a lot of eggs are laid, is underneath. And in the soil, a lot of pests do overwinter in the soil. She won't really be able to dig around there and find them. If the plants have been growing strong and steady all season, they might be root-bound in the pot or in the planter, and they might need more room to just have some more space for root growth. So potting them up is a good idea. That way they'll be able to control their moisture management inside in a new environment a little bit easier.
So Guinevere, with what Dave was saying about where the eggs might be hiding, is repotting also something that's likely to get rid of those eggs? If they're on the leaves, is there some, you just hand pick them off, or you
tear
off
those
leaves?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what you know, what the plants are and what the pests are, you know, as far as, but Dave suggested about just check it out, give it a kind of a once over. There's a lot you can do with your two fingers as far as smushing goes, but I wouldn't worry too much about anything buried in the soil. I mean, that's much more of a worry, you know, in your lawn, in your garden beds, but I wouldn't worry so much about your little garden pots. I think you're probably, if your plants don't otherwise need to be repotted, I wouldn't worry about it.
Environmentalist and professional gardener Guinevere Higgins, as well as environmentalist and professional farmer Dave O'Neill, are our guests. 888-WMRA-TALK, how to reach us by phone. Sandra in Penn Laird, thanks for doing that. Your question or comment for Dave and Guinevere, please.
Hi, can you recommend any local, like Valley or just across the hill in the Charlottesville area, sources for Japanese maples of some good variety? I have a tricky spot where there is a tough lighting position for Japanese maples, and I know there are some varieties that are adaptable to this, but they just don't have them in the regular garden centers, and I thought maybe there were some maple growers here.
Sandra, that is such a great question. You may be able to hear the music, which means that we're going to hit the break in just a moment. I'd like to ask you to stay tuned, and I'm sure we'll have some good information for you when we get back. And I also know that Dave and Guinevere have some things to say about garlic. So garlic, Japanese maple, and much more to come up in just a bit more than 1 minute. Now, please don't forget that 800 number that Bob and Martha were kind enough to give you. But we know that you have enough room in your brain to add another number. And this would be the other number we're asking you to add, 888-WMRA-TALK. And in all numbers, that actually translates to 888-967-2825. If you have a question, suggestion, comment, idea, anything to do with gardening, organic gardening specialist Dave O'Neill, co-owner of the Radical Roots Community Farm in Kieseltown, organic gardening specialist Guinevere Higgins, co-owner of the Charlottesville-based gardening consulting firm called Blue Ridge Backyard Harvest, are both here to talk to you. And right now, guys, you're going to try and respond to Sandra's question about Japanese maples. And from what I understand you were saying during the break, this is not an easy question to answer.
Dave and I can handle those vegetable questions, but when it gets into ornamentals,
we're a little above what we know most about. But I will say I'm not an expert on Japanese maple cultivars, but I do know of an expert, and his name is Michael Durr. He's not local to us, but he is based in Georgia, so he definitely is a Southern gardener. And he's a wonderful horticulturalist, and he has a book called The Manual of Woody Plants.
The
Manual of Woody Plants.
Is this something Sandra or anybody else who wants to know about woody plants might be able to find in a library somewhere?
Sure. And Michael Durr is going to be able to give you the best advice on Japanese maple cultivars that will do well, that are the height and have the shade tolerance that you need for your particular site, Sandra. So I would consult Durr, D-I-R-R, Michael Durr.
Sandra, does that sound like a reasonable route to try?
Well, actually, I've consulted Michael Durr, and I've made some choices based on his recommendations, but the problem is finding somewhere within a reasonable driving distance that actually raises these things.
Right.
I would check out the plant sale at the State Arboretum up in Blandy. They have two plant sales a year. One is coming up in October.
Oh, great.
And they have several vendors from smaller nurseries that specialize in Japanese maples.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sandra, thanks so much for your call. Next, we're going to Lou Ray. I think this is Nathan. Nathan, your question or comment for Dave and Guinevere, please.
A couple things. So I've got a lot of green tomatoes, and I want to know what I could do with those. I don't know if they're going to turn red or what the deal is. And then what type of cover crop should I be planting?
Nathan, can I ask when you planted your tomatoes?
When did I plant the tomatoes?
Yeah.
It was hot and muggy. I'm not sure.
Early, so that's any time between April and August.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, the normal time, I think.
Okay. Maybe late spring,
April,
early summer?
Early May.
Okay.
And they're not supposed to still be green?
No, you'll very much have green tomatoes still at this time of year. But, you know, it could be that if they were planted late, then they're just getting started. But it sounds like you just are the weather's cooled off quite a bit, which makes ripening happening a lot more slowly. And the tomatoes tend to not be as high quality when they're cold. So there's a number of wonderful things you can do. Fried green tomatoes, of course. Green tomato chutney is one of my favorites.
We also will go and pick all the green fruit when we're done with the bed, and we'll put them in our greenhouse. It's a little warmer, and they will slowly ripen in there. We do have to grade through them a little bit. There's also an old technique that is wrapping them in newspaper, sticking them in the fridge, and then slowly pulling them out to ripen on your windowsill.
And so, put them next to an apple. That'll help.
Really?
That ethylene gas, yeah, will help them ripen that the apple puts out.
And Nathan, you also mentioned about cover crop. When you take those tomato plants out or incorporate them into the soil, right now is a great time of year to plant cover crop. That's a plant that you grow not to harvest, but for the soil itself. Mm-hmm. And what we use on Radical Roots Farm is a mix of annual ryegrass and Austrian winter pea. The ryegrass gets really tall, 6 feet tall by spring. And we primarily grow that to get organic matter into the soil, and the Austrian winter pea is a legume which takes atmospheric nitrogen out of the air and gets nitrogen into the soil. So a combination of some kind of grain like rye and some kind of legume that grows in the winter like Austrian winter pea is a great cover crop, and you can sow that anytime from now until the end of October.
Nathan, thank you so very much for your call. 888-WMRA Talk is how to reach us by phone. And all of a sudden, we've got a couple of lines open for those of you who are still waiting on the phone. June and Polly, we will be to you soon. But I wanted to underscore the fact that you guys love talking about soil preparation. And I suspect, Guinevere, that you have something you want to add to what Dave was just saying.
Well, in addition to fall being a wonderful time to be out in your garden and tending fall-planted crops, it's also a really awesome time to think about your soil. So to think about, you know, you've had a whole growing season behind you. So, you know, chances are your soil is slightly more depleted. So it might need additional compost. You might consider taking a soil test, having it sent off to the lab at Virginia Tech, and see kind of where you add up. You might find that you're a little low in minerals. You might need to do another rotation of lime in there, making sure your pH is up to snuff. I always recommend adding compost pretty much at any time you think you should add compost, you probably should. There's never really a bad time to do it or a time when you shouldn't do it. So fall is a great time. And then really what that's doing is it's allowing any kind of soil amendments that you would put on your garden to take effect. Oftentimes they take 2, 3, 4 months before they achieve the desired results. And then come spring, you're ready to go. You're not having to start from scratch and do all that soil work in, you know, March or April. You're just ready to go to plant.
June in Crozet. Thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Guinevere Higgins and or Dave O'Neill, please.
Yes, thank you. I had a big poplar tree cut down and the stump ground up, and now I'm having all these little shoots come up where the roots are, and how can I get rid of them so I can plant a pretty flower garden there?
Well, if it was a big, strong tree, you're definitely going to have those suckering roots. Even if you got the stump ground, all those feeder roots still have a lot of life, and they're gonna probably keep coming back for a long time. Poplar is one of the trees that suckers pretty easily, and I think looking at your soil, maybe even doing some good soil preparation, some deep tillage, get some air in there before you plant maybe a perennial flower bed is gonna be one big key. And improving the soil, as Guinevere has been talking about with compost, you could try to get some cover crop in this fall. That would help a spring planting rotation of flowers. That would help improve the soil. And then just when you get that flower garden established, really kind of being on top of the tree weeds that are coming up for you, because they'll probably continue for a while. But you can tire them out. Basically, by just
keep
being vigilant.
June, hope that helps. We have another call.
So I should put the cover crop before I put the flowers in?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would definitely. Cover crop is great to plant now in the winter.
Uh-huh.
And then you could incorporate all of that into the soil in the spring.
All right.
And that would really help the organic matter levels and the aeration.
Nothing to do to just kill or get rid of the little shoots that are coming up.
Just be vigilant.
Yeah, be really vigilant.
Keep cutting them back.
Thanks so much, June. We have another call coming in from Crozet. I believe this is Polly. Polly, thanks for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
Hello.
Yes,
am
you're
I
on
right?
The air.
This,
yes, ma'am.
This is Polly. This is Polly.
Are Hi, you? Polly.
I was asking about crepe myrtle. I bought a plant about 2 feet tall, and this is 4 years ago, and I planted it where it is part shade and part sun. And when I bought it, it had lots of flowers on it, but it flowered only 1 year afterwards, and now for 3 years, there has been no flowers, and I have fed it only Miracle-Gro. Is there any way that I can encourage it to flower?
Well, crepe myrtle is one of these wonderful trees or shrubs that will grow in incredibly hot, dry, baking, full sun conditions. And I would suspect if you say you have it in part shade that it might just not be getting quite enough sun. It really wants that full sun if it can have it. And that's the more sun, the more bloom.
Okay.
So should I move it then? You could transplant it, and I would say do that in the winter when the tree is dormant, and you'll have better success with your mm-hmm. transplanting.
So move it?
I would try to move it. And I would say, too, you know, Dave and I are we're big advocates of non-chemical agriculture and horticulture. So I would say put down your Miracle-Gro and pick up your compost and mulch your tree really well. Mulch it with compost, mulch it with wood chips, mulch it with organic matter. And you should have a very healthy, happy plant.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Polly, thanks so much for calling in. So to you on the other side of your radio, is there something in your garden that continues to baffle you? Some kind of pest that just won't take your invitation to dine elsewhere. Some kind of challenge with too much sun or too little. Something about the soil where you are, or something completely different. Our phone lines are now all open at 888-967-2825. Easy to remember as 888-WMRA-TALK. You can also reach us through Facebook at WMRA's Virginia Insight. Here on Facebook, we have this that just came in from Steve, who says, when should my asparagus plants be trimmed back for winter, and what's the proper way to prepare them for next season?
Great question. So for any perennial planting, and that could be asparagus, it could be peonies, phlox, you name it, you don't really want to cut the plants back until they have started to die back naturally. Anytime the plant is green still, it's actively photosynthesizing, it's sending energy down into its roots. That's going to make for a stronger, happier, healthier plant. So I would say cut your asparagus back when it's brown and woody. You can give it a good top dressing of compost. Again, never hurts. And once that asparagus has been cut back to the ground, then it's really easy to get that compost on your asparagus bed. You can also mulch asparagus really well. And, you know, it's just a good time to asparagus likes really rich, nice, highly nutritious soil. So if you can give it a little love from your compost pile, that'd be a really good idea.
Want to talk about garlic?
I want to talk about garlic. Yeah. Garlic is such a great food. I mean, there's a reason why many of our wonderful meals start with garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to grow. It's really unique, all the different varieties, hard necks or soft necks. And we need to think about garlic right now because October is the month for planting garlic. It's a bulb. And just like, mm-hmm. you know, daffodils or any of other bulbs which we plant in the fall, garlic is for fall planting. We want to get it established. So it's at least 4 inches tall going into the more dormant time of December and January, but it will still do some root growth through the winter. When we plant it at 6-inch spacing, so one clove every 6 inches, four rows down the bed, and we add some compost, and then we mulch on top of it, and we mulch it with a good, deep 6-inch layer of straw. And then we don't water it. We don't have to weed it. It just comes up in the winter.
It's wonderful. It's a great thing for if you're a beginner gardener or if you are anxious about gardening and you want to just have some success, grow garlic because it's so easy. Most of the time, you don't, like Dave said, you don't do anything to it. It just grows. It grows over the winter. So, yeah, grow garlic.
It's a hardy plant, and then it makes us hardy when we eat it, right?
It's so good for you.
Organic gardening advisor and operator of the Radical Roots Community Farm in Keezletown, Dave O'Neill, is one of our guests on this edition of Virginia Insight. Sitting next to him, another organic gardening specialist, Guinevere Higgins. She runs Blue Ridge Backyard Harvest, a gardening consulting firm based in Charlottesville. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. Phone number 888-WMRA-TALK. Diana, thank you for using that. Where are you calling us from, Diana?
I'm calling from Esmont.
Well, thank you for doing that. Your question or comment, please.
Okay, I've been in this house for 3 years, and there are 7 rose bushes here. The first year they looked great. The second year they got something I identified as thrips. And this year I tried treating the thrips, and all of the, I think they got something else, and all the leaves fell off. They look terrible. Can I cut them back now, and what can I do for them next year so that I can still have vegetables around the roses? Does that make sense?
Sure, and roses are tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was at the Arboretum, we had a rose garden there, and it was a real trick.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely being careful with your pruning, and we're almost ready for pruning. As Guinevere said, when they start to kind of die back, you want to think about shape, form, and some corrective pruning, getting all the dead or possibly diseased branches out of there is important. And then how your soil is a good place to start. A lot of pest issues, people don't realize, relate directly with how good our soil is, what the quality and the texture and structure and fertility of the soil it is. And that determines how the plant health is. And, you know, pests come in a lot of times when we don't have healthy, vigorous plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that relates to the soil. So a lot of our pest troubles trigger our remedies, not just as a Band-Aid approach to what can I spray to this pest, but really more holistically, more ecologically, to how can I improve my soil to grow a stronger, healthier plant.
So Diana needs to, among other things, add a lot more compost to her soil.
Yes, compost.
Always. There's hardly a problem where compost is not the solution.
Diana, thank you so much for your call. In a moment, we are going to hear Bob Levicky and Martha Woodroof giving out a different phone number, an 800 number, asking you to make a contribution in this, the first day of our fall fun drive. Very short fun drive. It ends this coming Saturday at noon, so we hope you will consider making a contribution. But we also ask you to stay tuned, because we'll be back with more gardening advice and a different phone number in 3 minutes. And please do make note of that easy-to-remember 800 number, 800-NPR-WMRA. But now for a talk contribution about gardening, we have a completely different toll-free number, also easy to remember, 888-WMRA-TALK. Environmentalist and professional gardener Guinevere Higgins, as well as environmentalist and professional farmer Dave O'Neill, are our expert green thumb advisors here waiting to advise you. Although we always love hearing about solutions, and here on Facebook from Betty, we have this one. For several years now, my 6-year-old Labrador has seen fit to dig up the grass adjacent to the cement floor of the patio. He's been called bad, bad boy, naughty dog, and asked not to dig. No digging with results. No results. Now, however, my wise grandson, who just moved to town, raked over the dirt, spread grass seed, and covered it with a thin layer of window screen. The dog is puzzled and not digging, just laying close by and staring at the new growing grass. Hooray.
Yay.
Great. That's another wonderful exclusion method.
Yes, it's brilliant.
Next, we're going to Farmville. Becky, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Dave and or Guinevere, please.
Hi there. Got a question about planting onions in the fall. A couple years ago, my local nursery told me about planting fall onion sets, and they worked out great. Need more specifics. How late into the fall can I plant them? I ended up with some beautiful green onions that we used, you know, in soups and different things. But just any information you have on planting onions in the fall?
Great question. I think it's a fantastic idea. Anything that you can grow over the winter, like we mentioned earlier about garlic, it's like you so much less work. And then, you know, kind of all you have to do is harvest. It's fantastic. I do really well with fall planted leeks. And they're, you know, you harvest them in the early spring. They do really, really well. As far as when to plant, I imagine, although I don't have a lot of experience with planting fall planted onion sets or bulbs, but I imagine they're probably fairly similar to planting garlic. I've planted garlic as late as the first week in December,
mm-hmm,
and had good luck. But I think if you aim for, you know, like Dave said, anytime now through, you know, late October, early November,
okay,
you're in good shape. I have a friend who every year plants her garlic on Halloween.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Keep the vampires at bay.
Because I have had trouble with my fall planted onions wanting to, you know, go to seed really quickly, early if the weather's warm. But a lot of it's just been the local weather.
Sure.
But as far as green onions, they've been beautiful, mm-hmm, you know, until they start.
Well, then I would plant them later than you have before, and give them, you know, because the worst case scenario is they're just harvestable a little later rather than bolting sooner. So it's better to err on the side of late harvest.
Well, those young green onions, they make wonderful onion soup and things like that too. So it's just catching them before they bolt. So.
Yes.
Oh, Becky, I'm getting hungry already. Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks.
We have this on Facebook from Eva, who says, how do you get rid of wiregrass or crabgrass? That stuff has some
rhizomes
spreading underground to China, and the more you pull it out, the more it grows.
Yes.
I've put weed mat down and mulch, and it just grows through the mat and forms a tangled web beneath what seems to strangle everything.
So I have wiregrass, also known as Bermuda grass. It's different than the other name she called it. There are two different problems.
Rhizomes?
Crabgrass. It's not crabgrass. Thank you.
Okay.
crabgrass is different. But Bermuda grass or wiregrass is a hideous problem to have. And I have it in my own backyard. We found the best way to remove it, and you'll never get all of it. So just keep that in mind. And if you have it in your lawn, but you're trying to keep it out of your garden, well, it's going to come back into your garden because it does spread. It spreads stoloniferously. So it just keeps growing almost on top of the soil. But what you need to do is take your spading fork and dig down deep into the soil, preferably when the soil's moist and it's nice and easy to dig. And then you can get a much better grasp of the entire root system of the plant. If you try to just pull it out of the ground without digging, basically you're just going to pull the top of the plant off, the root stays in the ground, and you haven't really eliminated the problem. And it's just it's a constant task. You got to just stay on top of it because it will just regrow and regrow and regrow.
So your bottom line advice to Eva is just don't give up.
Don't give up. Stay at it, but also dig it. Dig it up. That's the critical part. Don't just try to pull it.
Bill in Timberville and Gerald in Newmarket. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment, but I know the two of you, Dave and Guinevere, also want to talk about the fact that there's some unusual pests this time of year.
Yeah, there's a lot of cabbage worms.
Definitely. You may be out in your garden and see these pretty little fluttery butterflies, and they're white and they're cute, and you think, oh, it's so nice. Unfortunately, they will decimate your brassica crops, so your broccoli, your cabbage, your kale. They lay eggs on those plants, and those eggs hatch into caterpillars, and the caterpillars literally turn around, and next thing you know, that whole plant has been eaten down by these caterpillars. So if you see those pretty little flighty butterflies. I have a friend who captures them in a net, so you can try that approach. Also, just make sure to inspect your plants. These caterpillars start off as very, very teeny tiny little green things. So if you can smush them young, then you will help eliminate the problem. You can spray BT as an organic pesticide if you're really at your wit's end, if you have a really bad infestation. But usually if you're vigilant and you keep a track of your plants, then you should be able to, with digital extraction, meaning hand smushing, you should be able to eliminate them.
Now, Bill in Timberville, do we understand you've got a problem with zucchini?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I wanted to second the whole thing on planting garlic. My wife's a Cajun, so we really like garlic. But what we've also found is it's terribly easy to grow, and the garlic greens are great in salads or for a light garlic flavor. So if you have a balcony garden or a small space to work with, they're really good on a whole lot of levels. I was wondering if there was some kind of garlic that they recommended. We just got a bulb from the supermarket and broke it up and threw it in the ground.
Yep, that's one way to do it, is just kind of whatever garlic you have handy can usually be planted and will grow a great garlic. Another way to do it is to find a special variety. If you're a fan of hardnecks, I like the variety Music. It
Love
grows
music.
Really well. It's a strong producer.
Okay.
Garlic is interesting because it creates its own land race very quickly in as little as three seasons, which means it's not quite a named variety, but if you grow and then save your own planting stock, meaning bulbs that you crack out and plant your own cloves that you've grown for three seasons, it adapts to your soil and your growing conditions very quickly. So
excellent.
So start with a variety, either a soft neck or a hard neck, that you really like. I've grown to like music, and that's the one we grow. And then stick with it. Plant enough that you can save 10 or 20% of your crop for your own seed and continue to plant it. And like you mentioned, the whole plant is edible.
Mm-hmm.
The greens are edible in May.
Delicious.
In May, when the garlic starts to send up what would be a flower head,
right.
It does a loop-the-loop, and there's a squiggly kind of whistle. It looks like an old-fashioned whistle, and that's what would be a flower head, and that is edible too. We make garlic whistle pesto, which is spicy
okay.
and out of this world.
I know what you're talking about.
It's delicious. It's just another wonderful reason to grow garlic, and the seed-saving component of it too, I think it should not be overlooked. It's a wonderful way to save seed, and you know, it's something you should be thinking about if you're doing any kind of vegetable garden, but garlic is just so easy and so fun, and like Dave said, you can grow your own variety.
Bill, I know you also had a question about zucchini, and we're running short on
okay.
time.
Before
we have actually, it looks like, another person calling from Newmarket. This
That's
is Gerald.
That's what I was told, so I'll let you go.
No, hold on, please.
Okay. Sure.
He also has a question, I'm told, about zucchini, so I wanted to get all of us talking to each other. Gerald, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
What was your question about zucchini?
Well, we have a different problem with zucchinis than most people. We only get one or two squashes, and then the plant dies.
Mm. Uh-oh.
And I'm just wondering, we mulch with chopped leaves to keep the weeds down, and I'm wondering if that contributes to the problem of the squash bugs and the squash borers.
It can.
It sounds more like squash borers than squash bugs. Squash borers typically will eat the inside of the stalks, and the squash can have a kind of sudden death syndrome like you're talking about.
Right.
So, bugs typically will eat on the leaves and more the fruits and have a slow demise.
They're sap suckers, so your plant will kind of slowly but surely kind of wilt.
Is it possible to have both?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Why not?
We've got them.
Unfortunately, the squash bugs will overwinter in mulch. So it can be important to practice clean cultivation around your squash plants and in the areas in your garden in which you have planted squash. Once you have the bugs, it can be challenging to grow more squash and eliminate
I have enough trouble, Guinevere, with trying to keep a clean mind. What is clean cultivation?
So making sure that there's not any, you know, all kinds of material, whether they're weeds or mulch or anything, right up around the base of your plants. Make sure it's really clean because it can provide places for those bugs to overwinter.
Gerald, Bill had a question about zucchini, but we lost his call. So I appreciate that you brought us information that we wouldn't otherwise have had about this delicious
right.
plant. But I would want to ask our two guests, Guinevere and Dave, if you can guess if there might have been any other problems with zucchini that Bill might have been asking about.
Those are the two most common.
Well, one main problem is too much zucchini, right? When you get baseball bat zucchini, what do you do with it?
That's true.
And one other real problem that we haven't talked about is overwintering pests, overwintering disease pressure.
Mm.
And one technique that we use in organic gardening at Radical Roots Farm is crop rotation,
mm-hmm.
meaning we don't grow the same crop in the same bed year after year. We move crops around, our annual crops, in different locations. And that really helps to break some of our pest and disease cycles. And that's why we talk about plant families a lot, like all our brassica or broccoli family, all our squash family plants, and then the other big one we grow is Solanaceae, which is peppers and eggplants and tomatoes. So we rotate our beds, our growing beds, by plant families, and we alternate on a three-year cycle, so we hopefully break pest and disease cycle by not growing the same crop in the same bed, but giving it a break with a different plant family.
And let's hope we have a cold winter this
year.
Cold
winters are great
really
for
nice.
Annual gardens.
Gerald and Bill both, thank you so much. Good luck with your zucchini and everything else that's growing in your garden. I understand, David, that you have an event coming up sometime mid-October. Is it October 19th? No. It's Guinevere.
That's my event, yeah. So I'm involved with an organization in Charlottesville called City Schoolyard Garden, and we do school gardens in Charlottesville Public Schools. We have a flagship program at Buford Middle School, and new this fall will be in all 6 Charlottesville elementary schools. We're really excited about that expansion, and gardens are going in, as they should, this fall, fall being a wonderful time to get a new garden established. But on October 19th, we're having our annual Fall Harvest Festival at Buford Middle School. And this is not just some fun thing to do if you happen to have a child at Buford Middle School. This event is open to the public. There's free food, free live music with our wonderful friends, the Downbeat Project.
They're good.
They're really good. It's open to anyone who's interested in seeing a school garden, anyone who loves to dance and eat free food. And we also do cider pressing. We'll do garden tours. It's just a really fun event. There's lots of stuff for kids to do. It's from 5 to 8 on Friday, October 19th at Buford Middle School in Charlottesville. Hope to see you there. And if you'd like more information, cityschoolyardgarden.org.
Almost out of time. Do we need to get you guys back to talk about winter gardening, or do we wait until spring?
March?
We start our spring February? In the winter.
Yeah.
We planted our first tomato rotation this past year on December 28th. So that's winter for a lot of folks, but it's early spring for us.
Now for the folks listening at home, that's under a greenhouse cover, not in the backyard without protection.
Lots of warmth.
It is a tremendous service every time the two of you are here. And I just want to underscore that everything WMRA is able to do, including this program, is only because listeners make it possible. Many people listening know that all of the funding that we used to get from the state of Virginia has now been cut. So in addition to our usual need to ask you to help with the budget, we have more need than ever right now. So for everybody who called in today at 888-967-2825, if you haven't done so yet, please now mark down our other phone number, the one to use to make your financial contribution, 800-NPR-WMRA. Guinevere Higgins, professional gardening advisor and co-owner of Charlottesville-based consulting firm Blue Ridge Backyard Harvest, as well as Dave O'Neill, organic farming specialist and co-owner of the Radical Roots Community Farm in Keezeltown. Thank you both so much for making time for us.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition of Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Have a terrific day.